I'd like to give you a warm welcome to our service. It certainly is great to be back at the church. This is the first step back to normalcy, and we're hoping within a month to be having services at the church. We're in our series, Real Faith in an Unreal World, and we've been looking at the supernatural life of faith. It's supernatural because the eye of faith sees what others cannot see. We're guided by something far, far greater. We've been looking at Hebrews 11 faith, and we've been looking from different angles, looking at different facets of faith. And my prayer is that your understanding of faith would certainly be growing. We've looked at the fact that faith worships. This is the starting point. We looked at Abel's sacrifice that speaks of the focus of worship, which is the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sin. Faith not only worships, it also walks. And we took a look at Enoch and his intimate relationship with God. And it really just reminds us it's so essential to cultivate our relationship and our faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith works. Noah believed. He built an ark and he saved his family. And certainly people who filled with faith would the desire to see people around them being saved. Faith waits. We saw Abraham who rested on the providence and the sovereign purposes of God. Faith wars. Moses overcame the bondage of Egypt and led God's people into the promised land. Faith wins. We saw how Joshua conquered Jericho, and there are certainly faith battles that all of us need to fight and we need to win. Faith witnesses. Rahab's life is a wonderful testimony to the depth of God's groundless grace. We now come to the final section of Hebrews 11, and perhaps for some, this will be a difficult read, but it's absolutely essential to our understanding of what authentic faith is really all about. If you'll turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll start reading from verse 32. Hebrews 11 and verse 32. And what more shall we say? Time will not allow me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what is promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, and escaped the edge of the sword, who gained strength from weakness, and became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Still others endured mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went around in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, oppressed, and mistreated. The Lord was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and hid in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet they did not receive what was promised. God had planned something better for us, so that together with us, they would be made perfect. So far, we're reading God's word. Let us bow our heads in prayer as we commit this time to the Lord. Father, we thank you that we can come around your word again in this wonderful series on faith. And we just ask that you would expand our understanding of faith and grow our love and desire to see more of you in our lives. Father, I pray that you'd encourage us today. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand faith. And for the times when we go through difficulty and we feel discouraged, we just pray that we would see with new eyes what your desire is for our lives. Father, we thank you. We can place our complete trust in you. And Lord, we ask that you would indeed grow our understanding and our strength to really look to you and help us to be focused on you. We pray this. And Lord, we just pray for those again who are struggling, Lord, who are going through tough times, who maybe have lost work or maybe are facing sickness. Lord, we ask that this word would be an encouragement directly from you. Father, we pray for our country as we still struggle with the pandemic. And Lord, we ask that you'd give us wisdom. We pray for our church that you'd give us wisdom going forward in terms of our services. Lord, we pray this all in your precious name. Amen. You imagine I have no ups and downs. Just a level and lofty stretch of spiritual attainment with unbroken joy and equanimity. By no means. I'm often perfectly wretched and everything appears most murky. So wrote the man who in his day was called the greatest preacher in the English-speaking world, Henry Jowett. At a Sunday morning service, the great man of God, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, shocked his congregation by saying the following: "I'm the subject of depression of spirit so fearful that I hope that none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I go to." Both these men of God, great men of God, fought tremendous battles of faith. Both faced oppression. Both faced opposition, discouragement, doubt. And yet these men, they stood firm in their faith. We're going to be looking at one last perspective. And today we're going to be looking at faith withstands or faith perseveres. True faith keeps on keeping on. Do you remember the defining verse of faith? If we go back to chapter 11 and verse 1. "Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Faith gives us a hope. It gives us a certainty about the future. Faith brings the invisible into view. The eye of faith helps us see what others cannot see. This was the foundation of the 16 heroes of faith listed in this chapter. Our author was writing to a small group of Christians who were facing growing persecution. They were suffering for their faith. This was no minor trial. Soon they were to face the waves of horror from the mad emperor Nero. Was everything hopeless? Not at all. Christians who live by faith, in the words of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, they fix their eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith. The author, the preacher who writes to the Hebrews, concludes this faith chapter with a dazzling rush of encouragement as he quickly describes the empowerment that comes through faith to those who put their trust in God. People who may have appeared as winners or losers in this life. Firstly, we see in this passage that those who have faith are empowered for victory. The writer begins by listing half a dozen obvious winners who were empowered for victory. Verse 32 says, "And what more shall I say? Time will not allow me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets." Gideon had a phenomenal victory over the Midianites. Remember, he had to reduce his troops from 32,000 to 10,000 and then to 300. And he came against a mighty army at night with torches and trumpets. Gideon's feat was a crazy act of faith, so it seemed. Likewise, Barak, obeying God's word through Deborah, his prophet, met a great army of Sisera with its 900 chariots and thousands of troops with a tiny army. But faith carried the day. Samson, Jephthah, David, his battle against Goliath. Remember those memorable words. "It is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Samuel, the little boy who became God's prophet. When you look at these heroes of faith, they all have something in common. Each lived in a day when faith in God was scarce. Judges 21:25 reminds us, "Everyone did what is right in their own eyes. Each one battled overwhelming odds." Gideon's 300 against a massive army. David, the young shepherd boy, against this experienced, massive Goliath. Most significantly, and certainly an encouragement for me, each had a flawed faith. Listen to what the theologian John Calvin remarked. "There was none of them whose faith did not falter. Gideon was slow than he needed to have been to take up arms, and it was with difficulty that he ventured to commit himself to God. Barak hesitated at the beginning so that he almost had to be compelled by the reproaches of the prophet Deborah. Samson was the victim of enticements of his mistress and thoroughly betrayed the safety of himself and all his people. Jephthah rushed headlong into making a foolish vow and was obstinate in performing it and then thereby marred a fine victory by the cruel death of his daughter. And we could add David, who was sensuous, and Samuel, who failed in his family life. Calvin concludes, in every saint there is always to be found something reprehensible or something that's bad. Nevertheless, although faith may be imperfect and incomplete, it does not cease to be approved by God. There is no reason, therefore, why the fault from which we labor should break us or discourage us, provided we go by faith in the race of our calling. How encouraging are these words? This is the hope each of us has. Faith's empowerment is not beyond any of us. All of us can tap into the empowerment that comes by faith in God. By faith, we are empowered for conquest and service. Verse 33 says, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Remember Samson and David and Benaniah. By faith, we are empowered for personal deliverance. Who shut the mouths of lions, remember Daniel, quenched the fury of the flames, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and escaped the edge of the sword. Remember David, Elijah, Elisha, and many, many others. By faith, we are empowered for great achievements, whose weakness was turned to strength, and became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. We think of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath and Elisha and the Sunanite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 34. What power comes through faith? God delights to effect mighty triumphs through people of faith. Faith pleases God, and faith in God empowers. Faith can save from a flood. Faith can cross a Red Sea. Faith can cross a flooded Jordan River. Faith can bring down the walls of Jericho. Faith can prevail when outnumbered 1,000 to 1. God can deliver us from anything he chooses, sickness, injustice, family troubles. The list goes on and on. But there's also a parallel truth, and for many of us this is difficult. God has not promised to deliver us from every problem we face in this life at all times and in every situation. In fact, not all of us will be apparent winners in this life. From the world's perspective, some people of faith will be big losers. Firstly, we're empowered for victory, but secondly, we're empowered for perseverance. To balance the record, the writer shows us a faith that provides us a different empowerment, a power to persevere to the end. We're empowered to persevere in persecution. Verse 35 and 36, women received back their dead, raised again to life. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Still others endured mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. We know that the writer is referring to the Maccabean persecution because the word for torture refers to the tympanum, a large drum or wheel on which the Maccabean victims were stretched out and beaten and even dismembered. Second Maccabees details the gruesome torture of a 90-year-old priest by the name of Eleazar who refused to eat pig's meat. And then the torture of his 7 brothers for the same reason. Each could have been released if they had compromised, but each categorically refused, as the text explains, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Better. Why was it better? Because it is a resurrection, not just to life on earth, as was the case with the widow's son, but a resurrection in the world to come. empowered to persevere in persecution. We're empowered to persevere even to death. The preacher continues on to remind this little church that there were those who would faithfully persevere even to death. Verse 37 says, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. Then we're empowered to persevere in distress and the deprivations of life. There were those who, of the faithful, as the writer reflects, who knew deprivation. Verse 37 continues, they went around in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, oppressed, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and hid in caves and holes in the ground. There's a calculated irony here. Those who the world has looked down on are those whom the world does not deserve to have. So much for a prosperity gospel. Why could these people persevere? For the simple reason of their great faith. The battered little church in the Roman Empire had to take note. And friends, we too need to take note. What was the result? Well, first in verse 39, these faithful were commended for their faith. This is how the faith chapter began, and this is how it ends. A commendation for faith. God forgets no one who loves him and serves him. The one with the apparent victory early in the chapter, and the other with an apparent loss. Second, in verse 39, none of these faithful received what was promised. Although many and great promises were fulfilled in their lifetimes, none of these received the great promise, the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. Each of these Old Testament faithful entered heaven with that promise unfulfilled. Why is this? Well, verse 40 tells us, God had planned something better for us, so that together with us, they would be made perfect. No one was made perfect under the old covenant because Jesus had not yet died on a cross. They were saved, but not until Jesus' work on the cross was complete could salvation be perfect. They looked forward, but we look back to the glorious work of Jesus on the cross. The centerpiece of our faith is this. Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. There's a poem by Richard Fuller, I will not doubt. I will not doubt, though all my ships at sea come drifting home with broken masts and sails. I will believe the hand which never fails from seeming evil worketh good for me. And though I weep because those sails are tattered, still will I cry while my best hopes lie shattered. I trust in thee. I will not doubt, though all my prayers return, unanswered from the still white realm above. I will believe it, and all-wise love, which has refused these things for which I yearn. And though times I cannot keep from grieving, yet the pure ardor of my fixed believing, undimmed shall burn. I will not doubt, though sorrows fall like rain, and troubles swarm like bees about a hive. I will believe the heights for which I strive are only reached by anguish and by pain. And though I groan and writhe beneath my crosses, I shall yet see through my severest losses the greatest gain. I will not doubt, while anchored in this faith, like some staunch ship, my soul braves every gale, so strong is courage that it will not fail. To breast the mighty unknown sea of death. Oh, may I cry, though body parts with spirit. I do not doubt, so the listening worlds may hear it with my last breath. The message of the preacher in Hebrews when we doubt is look to the cross. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. I'll never forget a man in my very first congregation who was a suffering saint, a man who had all the faith in the world, and his whole testimony as he was busy dying was absolutely incredible. It was memorable as he testified of God's persevering love that he had for him. This man persevered and he loved God, and it was a glorious testimony. Job in chapter 13 and verse 5, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Paul wrote to his protege Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. As he came to the end of his glorious and illustrious life, he was facing persecution and death, and he wrote the following to his protege. For I know whom I am believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted to him until that day. Horatius Spafford was a successful and respected lawyer in the States, an active Christian, a friend and supporter of D.L. Moody and other evangelical leaders of his day. Without warning, a string of events, of tragedies occurred in his life. First, the unexpected death of his only son. A short time later, the Great Chicago Fire of 1871 wiped out the family's extensive real estate investment. When D.L. Moody was leaving to go and preach in England, he decided to take his family with him to lift their spirits and assist in the meetings. Horatius was detained by some urgent business, but sent his family on ahead by boat to England. Halfway across the Atlantic, the boat was struck by another vessel and sank in 12 minutes. All of his four daughters were drowned. His wife was among the few that were miraculously saved. He received the following telegram from his wife: saved alone. Horatius Spafford stood hour after hour on the deck of the ship as he traveled to join his wife in Cardiff in Wales. When the ship passed the place where his precious daughters were drowned, Spafford received sustaining comfort from God to write the following: when sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul. Hear the words of this great hymn: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, lest this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and she his own blood for my soul. The Lord haste the day when my faith shall be sight, and clouds be rolled back like a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Won't you stand with this great man of God, Spafford, who trusted God in the midst of his trial? And my prayer for you today is that the Lord would strengthen you, that he'd give you that perseverance that is spoken about in the last verses 32 to 40, that we find in Hebrews 11. Won't you bow with me in prayer as we just ask the Lord to minister to us? And maybe you're going through a crisis right now, and won't you just lay that before the Lord and ask him to give you the faith that you can respond to him. Father, we thank you that we can come this day to seek your face. Lord, we read about this glorious faith that carried these saints who suffered. Father, we want to pray that indeed that would be our experience. Lord, that you'd help help us in our faith, that we'd withstand the challenges of the day. Lord, we ask and we plead that you'd give each of us perseverance. Lord, help us to work out our faith in our daily challenges and trials. Lord, we know you're faithful. And Father, in those times when you choose not to remove those trials, Lord, we ask that you would strengthen our faith, teach us great lessons, and Father, draw us closer to you. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Friends, as we bowed, won't you just pray and seek God's face. Perhaps you're facing a crisis. Why don't you lay that before the Lord and ask Him to give you this persevering power, this persevering faith. Father, we thank You that You come alongside of us. We thank You for Your Spirit that counsels us and gives us wisdom. And Lord, lifts us up. And Father, we pray that indeed we would look to You. We pray this all in Your precious name. Amen.